Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
Amen. If you have not caught on to the theme, it is about His kingdom and that He is our King. The PowerPoint's not working this morning, or hasn't been set up yet. Before we get into the sermon, I want to remind everybody and encourage everyone about an event that we have coming up on March 17th. And it has to do with our marriages. It's called His Shoes, Her Shoes. We're having Wayne and Tammy Roberts in on that day. It's a Saturday. I know not everybody can make it. That's not the point. And what I want to encourage you is it's not for those that are struggling in their marriage. It's for anybody that's married, anyone that's looking to get married, anyone that's been married for 50 plus years. It's for you. It's a wonderful time to get together to encourage one another to build up marriage. And one of the biggest things that I believe is attacking our country, our homes, Satan is attacking our marriages. He is destroying them. He's doing everything in his power to distract us from one another. When you think about his kingdom, your kingdom is your home, right? Where you're at with your husband, with your wife. This is your little kingdom that you have authority over. You have your children. You have this authority in this place. How is that kingdom going? We need to encourage that kingdom. We need to build up that kingdom. We need to make sure that our marriages are being blessed, are being honored, are being encouraged. Because as soon as they're not, we might think everything is fine. But all of a sudden, it's not. We just received an email this past week of a marriage that is struggling, is falling apart. Well, why don't we do something about it before those things happen? So I want to encourage you, you can sign up online, you can sign up out in the foyer, there's a sign up list on the bulletin board. You can sign up in multiple ways. But I want to encourage you, this is a work of the church. This is something we're doing. And it's not just for us as members. You can invite family members, you can invite friends, you can invite neighbors. There's flyers out in the foyer that you can hand out, that you can give to people. And I want to encourage you to do that. Because it's a fun time where we just encourage marriage. As we get into our talk this morning on the kingdom of God. When you think about the kingdom, what comes to mind? And for those of us that have been in the church for a while, we might think, well, the church is the kingdom, right? In Matthew chapter 16, remember that Jesus asked the disciples, well, who do people say that I am? And some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say just one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, it's upon you, Peter, it's upon that rock, it's upon that confession that I will build my church. We understand that it is his kingdom. Later on in other passages, we find out that Jesus is the king. In fact, what does Christ mean? What does Messiah mean? The anointed one. That he is the king. The king that was promised. The king that came. And the king that will come again. And bring everyone home into his feast, into his kingdom's fruition. In Matthew chapter 13, there are a number of parables that Jesus gives. It's in that chapter that pretty much every one of them has to do with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. This morning I want you to zone in on verses 31 and 32. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And he gives all these things about it. It's small, but it's got power and it has potential. And those are the three themes that we'll see and we'll focus on this morning. The smallness, the power, and the potential of God's kingdom and of his word within your lives. But how much do you value his kingdom? Somebody told a story about burglars who broke into David saying, get out of the zone, Travis. Turn on the microphone. Let people hear you. Let's start over at the beginning. But somebody told the story of burglars that broke in to a particular store. But they didn't steal anything. Instead, what they did is they just swapped all the tags. So this coat over here, this mink coat that was $3,000, they took the tag off of that and they put it on a package of socks. And they did that with all kinds of things within this store. And nobody really knew what had happened until people started shopping. And they were all excited. Hey, I found this mink coat for $4. You know, man, this is awesome. And then they walk over to grab a pair of socks and whoa. What's going on? And so everybody starts complaining. And well, what does that illustrate? That we've started to put our value in the wrong places. You know, we've started to take things and say, this is what is most important to me. It could be a car. It could be my job. It could just be a hobby. It could be anything else other than the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you to read the other parables within this chapter. We're not going to go over all of them today, but down in verses 44 and 45, you have the encouragement of valuing the kingdom of God. It's important, and it should be of the utmost importance to you. Jesus is your king. We just sang that song, and oh, I dearly love him. Do you truly love your king? Are you a faithful and loyal subject of your king and his kingdom, the church? As we get on to the mustard seed, notice the smallness. Some great things come in small packages. It's encouraging to note that it doesn't matter where something starts, right? There's some people that start in places and they shouldn't amount to anything. And yet you see some great things happen because of the way God has worked in their lives. Let's notice Jesus for an example. Now, miraculous birth, that's amazing, but nobody really believed that he was really the Son of God. Mary was shunned, Joseph was shunned. Everybody was thinking, I can't believe Joseph is even marrying this woman. I mean, she clearly cheated on him before they got married. So, this is terrible. And so he starts off with very humble means. He's born in a place that's, you know, it's not anything fancy. It's not like they have all kinds of money. They're traveling to Egypt and back just to stay away from Herod and to be protected from someone that wants to kill them. And here's Jesus growing up as a carpenter's son, and he's doing all these things. And it's later on, you have John the Baptist that was read for us just a moment ago, who begins to proclaim a few months before Jesus begins his ministry. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He goes on to talk about that there is one coming, that I am unfit to untie his sandals. And he's talking about his king, the Son of the living God, Jesus the Christ, born in a manger, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. And then not only is Jesus kind of this figure that nobody should really pay attention to, he's not He's not the one that people would normally want to pay attention to. What rabbinical school did Jesus go to that we should listen to him? No, he didn't. I mean, he learned the law, and he would go and he would sit and listen to other rabbis and do that, but he wasn't going to a rabbinical school to become a rabbi. He was a carpenter's son. It's not just Jesus. But think about the people that he called to follow him. The disciples or the apostles. You have a number of them that are fishermen. And in fact, people are making fun of them because they're from Galilee. And I mean, you're uneducated. What can you say that will convince me of who Jesus is? What do you know that I don't already know? What do you know that I haven't heard from my rabbi? What do you know because I'm a Pharisee? You should listen to me, not the other way around. I've had 5 children, and it's impressive to me not having any more. But what's always impressed me is we had a child, and that child grew, and they began walking, and they got out of their diapers, and then all of a sudden we had this new one, right? And it came out 6 pounds, a few ounces, and here's this baby, and it is the tiniest thing that I've ever seen, right? I mean, it's just within my hands. And it's dependent upon me. And yet, as this child grows, what potential there is. There's so many wonderful things that could happen, but every time I'm reminded, they start off so small. If some of you that have been blessed with babies that are more than 6 pounds, they were still small. Just a little bit bigger than mine. But here's this seed, this mustard seed, the smallness. He says, it's the smallest of the seeds. And yet, when it's planted and it grows, it becomes this wonderful tree that allows birds to come and nest in it. And you think about the kingdom of God and how it has grown. And what has it done? It's allowed birds, not necessarily birds, but you and I, to come into the kingdom. And it started off like that. It started off with a baby from Bethlehem. It started off with men that nobody really cared to listen to. We want to give value to the thing that's the biggest. We want to give value to the thing that costs the most. We want to give value to everything that is so fancy and wonderful that we neglect the things that can be more valuable than those. And here is the kingdom of God, the church that we are a part of today. Where is it at in our value system? Do we still look at it as small? Or do we see the power that is within the church? Do we see the power that is given by God? Do we see the power that is within His Word? See, there is power within the church, and it's not power that comes from us, but it's power that is given by God and by His Word and through His Word. Within Matthew chapter 13, you also have the parable of the sower, and you have the tares, and you have these things that happen. But within the parable of the sower, we learn about these soils, right? And the soils represent the heart, you know, the condition of the heart, whether it's hard, rocky, or it's got thorns, or it's a good receptive one that allows the seed to germinate and to really grow and to expand and do its thing, what it's meant to do. And the seed is the Word of God. It's the gospel that's being planted in everyone's heart. And And here we are, we're supposed to be the ones casting it out. We're supposed to be the ones that are sowing it. And Jesus sowed it, and the apostles sowed it. And as they did, what happened? That seed that was so small was able to grow. Too often we focus on the fact that, well, we read about the thorny, the rocky, the hard, and I'm just going to go ahead and determine, well, you two over there are rocky, you're hard, you're thorny, and I'm just not even going to bother throwing any seed in that direction. And we're just looking for, where's that one good soil? That one person that has the heart to listen to the gospel that we never sowed, that we never cast the seed. And here, Jesus pictures the sower casting the seed. And some of it fell among these places, the thorny, the rocky. And there were moments in which it grew, it started, but something happened. Whether it was Satan that came in and tore it out, whether it was the thorns, the trials, the tribulations that choked it out, but the seed still planted. It was still starting to grow. We need to be aware in our own lives. God's word has been planted. Some of us here have obeyed the gospel. Some of us may not have done that yet. But the seed has been planted, and it's germinating, it's growing, it's starting to work, and it's been working on us, for some of us, for a long time. But we need to be aware of those trials and tribulations that might come up. We need to be aware when Satan is doing something in our lives that is trying to choke it out. Because I'm convinced that just because our soil may have been good at one point, have we been continually tilling it? Have we been taking care of it and making sure that that soil is still good and ready to accept more and ready to be growing and giving, allowing it to grow even more? Or are we allowing weeds to come in? Are we allowing that rocky soil to get in the way? You see, it has the power. But sometimes we're allowing things to choke it out. We're allowing Satan to do things in our lives so that the words, that the seed, doesn't help us grow, spiritually speaking. The same thing happens with the church. The power is here. You see, it's not necessarily the power of me or the power of you. It's the power of God that's at work. Are we allowing His power to work in the church today? Or are we doing things that hold it back? Are we limiting God? With God, all things are possible. But are we saying, no, God, we can't do that? No, God, I can't do that. No, God, I don't think we're ready to do that here. Are we looking at it and saying, that's what His Word says? And if we do it, we're going to grow. God, I'm not ready to evangelize. You're going to have to find somebody else. God, I love You. I love Jesus. I confessed His name. I did these things. But I just don't feel like I can confess Him before other men that don't really believe what I believe. I just try to keep my mouth shut and not say anything. Is that what He asked of us? To just keep it to ourselves? Or did He ask us to sow? To continue to cast that seed? If we are that church and we are growing and We are that tree that is producing seeds. Aren't we supposed to continue to plant those seeds along the way so that others can be planted and others can grow? That's what we need to be doing. See, the power is there with God. He's given it. He's given the seed. He's given His word. It will cut through the bone, through the soul and the spirit. It's got the power. We need to let it work. Oh, potential. It's one of those wonderful words that comes around this time of year, especially with the NFL draft coming up. There's the combine, I believe, starts this Tuesday, so you're going to have a bunch of half-naked men running around and pumping iron and doing all kinds of other athletic things to try and show their potential and what they could be within the National Football League. And you have all kinds of people watching them, taking notes, saying, well, I think he has potential to fit in our system if we have him do this. And you have other people looking at them and saying, no potential. Can't use that person. No potential. When you look at the mustard seed, what does a seed represent? It doesn't represent now. It represents what can be, what can happen in the future, what we can look forward to, the fruit that will be coming in later months or in later years. That's what a seed represents, is that potential of what can happen, what will be. And as we look at the kingdom of God, it's here. We are it. We're a part of it within the church. But are we seeing it through to the potential that God has for it? You see, with God, we're unlimited. Now, we've got to be realistic about things, but we're unlimited with God. We can do it. We just have to put our minds to it. We've been going through Nehemiah, and unfortunately, we didn't get to finish the book, and we did a haphazard job this morning in class trying to finish it. But within that book, it said the people had a mind to work. They set their minds to the task at hand. We've got to recognize the potential that the Lake Norman Church of Christ, the congregation here, the part of God's kingdom here in Lake Norman, has. There is unbelievable potential here. The elders spoke about it at the tail end of last year as we're talking about the plans for the future. And here we are, we've paid off the building, we've done these things, and now, what's the potential? We have all these wonderful things ahead for us, but are we doing what we can to get there? Are we staying focused? Are we staying with it? Or have we said, well, we paid off the building. Whew! That debt's taken care of. I guess we can close the pocketbooks. We can say, well, we've taken care of that. We can just wait around for, I guess, whatever comes next, and maybe we can start doing some more then. Or do we stick with it? Do we stay with it? Do we continue to push, continue to grind, continue to push forward and press forward? So we can't let up. Going along with my football analogy, if you watch a game and you watch it go back and forth and you see certain teams, you know, here come, oh man, they won. Oh, there's only a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. There's no way this team's going to come back. And yet, they have this momentum and they just keep pushing and they just keep grinding and they just keep going. They haven't given up. And you see these teams win in the last seconds. Why? Because they didn't give up. They didn't let up. They kept pushing. They kept grinding. They kept saying, "It just one more first down. One more first down." And then before you know it, they're at the end zone. It's all right, we got to. Here's the offensive linemen that have been playing all game long, and they're these big men that I'm sure are tired, and they're struggling, but they're saying, okay, just one more big push, and we can get the running back into the end zone. We can do this. They see the potential, and they just take it one step at a time, and they just keep pushing. And that's what we need to be doing here. When I was offered the position to come here,
I was offered a position somewhere else at the same time. And one of the reasons I wanted to come here was because of the potential that I saw here. I see a whole lot of potential. Amen. And I hope that you see it too. We can grow. And we can do things here in the Lake Norman area. And just look around. I mean, there's congregations in different places, but here we are, right here. And we're kind of tucked away right now on Caldwell Station Road. People can find us if they look. But we need to be out there. We need to be sowing the seed. And we need to be looking for where we can be in the future as God's kingdom here on earth. What is the Lake Norman Church of Christ going to look like in 5 years? Are we going to be pushing 250 members? Have a new building? Are we going to be here with an expansion? Are we going to be growing? Are we going to be baptizing? Are we going to be doing those things? Or in 5 years, are we going to be... We're still at least above 100. I mean, the doors are still open. That's a good sign. We need to see the potential that God sees in us. And we need to keep pressing forward. The church is the kingdom of God here on earth. And as we look forward to being a part of the fruition of all of it, when Jesus returns and it all comes to be, He's got the feast ready, right? The feast is ready, and He's calling all of us home. He's calling the birds home to nest in that tree. Are you ready to be a part of His kingdom? If you are, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come.